We'll get started tonight. I'm going to continue in the teaching I did last Thursday, talking about the nature of man. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture to go over this. I believe it's going to be very helpful to have these verses so you can look at them and read back over them, grab hold to them, use them in your own study. But we're dealing with the nature of man. If you understand the nature of man, then you're going to understand more about the scripture. Why is certain things said? Why has the Lord used those terms? And so we went along through as much as we could before we run out of time. And so I'm not sure exactly where I stopped. Did anybody take any notes on Thursday and see the last verse I gave y'all on Thursday? Because I was given these notes and they wouldn't have been on the overhead. It would be before them. I was just some side verses I gave y'all on the Ecclesiastes stuff. John 6, did I read it? Well, I think that's what I have marked down as John 6. I'm going to go back to John 5. John 5, 26 to 29. I added a few more verses to this. And I probably gave you John 6, 47 through 58. But I added some more verses to that. I think we need to read most of that some more verses in that chapter. So let's look at that again, dealing with the nature of man. I think this is going to help us understand. Now, we went through the verses on knowing how we're made. Remember, you are but dust. Dust you are, dust you shall return. So we know he took dust. He says he took dust. And what I find happening is those who are teaching opposite of this, and again, remember, we are only on a search for truth. That's what we're looking for. We're not trying to teach this to say them people are wrong and we're right. We're going through the verses of Scripture and letting the Scripture tell us what they say. How many have ever heard the term inference? You can draw inference from something. It infers something. How many's ever heard that term? Does it directly say that? No, it infers something, but it may not directly say that. That is something that we have to be cautious in studying the Scripture. Because you can take out of the Scripture what you might think you draw inference or it infers something. You might say, well, it infers that. But what about clear text that actually say what it said? That's the ones that we want to focus on. Because they clearly say something. So we'll start with John 5, 26 through 29, and let's look at it. For just as the Father has life in himself, John 5, 26, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Notice that he gave to the Son. Who's the one that gave? The Father. Right? Within the context of this verse, the Father has life in himself. Who gave life to the Father? No one. He already has the life in himself. Even so, he, who's the he here? The Father gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Very important. Verse 27. And he gave him authority. He gave him authority to execute judgment. Isn't that powerful? He gave him authority to execute judgment. Because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, verse 28. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Isn't that encouraging? The hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Verse 29, and will come what? Forth. Will come forth those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life. Isn't that incredible? Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life. And those who committed the evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. So this is clearly stated that the ones in the tomb hear his voice. Where are they? In the tomb. Okay? Now, that was an addition. I added those verses after Thursday because you don't stop. You just keep. And I told you this was not an exhaustive study. There was plenty of room to add verses. But that John 5, 26 through 29, that needs to be added in there for you to know that, because it goes right along what we're talking about, dealing with the nature of man. John 6, 38. It's an addition. I added that because I was in the 47, I think I was. But I went back further and I added John 6, 38 through 58. So we're going to run through these verses and then move right along, because this is a lot of verses and a lot to talk about, in which we won't be able to do in its entirety tonight. John 6, verse 38. Now we're reading a lot of verses because I want you to see the context of the verse. Says this, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing. But, let me see that. But raise it up on the last day. When is he going to raise it up? On the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. How many see that? Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him. Remember that believes in him is not just believing he existed. The devil believes he existed. He's not going to get eternal life. Believes in him is we are willing to. How many was here when I was doing the Sunday morning when I talked about in the kingdom, Mark, when we looked at Mark and dealing with the verse when he says, repent and believe the gospel. The word repent, it's to turn around. It's to U-turn. But it also means this. It also means to have a change of mind or a change, how many has ever been focused on doing one thing and you were oriented or you were orientated in that basic, whatever it was, skill. Maybe you work behind a desk and you were oriented in that. So they wouldn't take you outside to mow the lawn. But if you was somebody showed you that and where the stuff was, you could also do that. You were orientated with that. You know, when you and I were living in sin, we were orientated in that. And we had a mind to do that. Right? Let me give you an example. Now, I'm going to put this in because as I was coming here, I just meditating. This is the things that the Lord puts in my mind. All right? These are the things that are very important for us to understand. Come here, Brother Josh. And then just sit right there. Okay? Now, you know what just happened? His mind or his brain done something. First, his ear gate, that works, obviously. He can hear me. He took in the information, and because he was trained to understand English, he knew what it meant when I said, come here, Brother Josh, and then sit right here. Now, his ear gate received that. The brain has to then start to do something. It has to understand. So the part of his brain that understands what I said made it clear to him. He was clear. There was no confusion. He didn't say, huh? Right? So he was clear. Brain's working. The mind's working. He was good. With those instructions, got him here. But then he had to do something with that instruction. He already knows from his experience that he not only can walk. Here, he didn't have to say, I wonder if I can walk. No. He already experienced that throughout coming here. So his mind understood what he just did. When you were in the world, you had that kind of mind also. You understood what you were doing. You made the decisions to do what you were doing. And you took your body to that arena and did it. How many has ever done that? When you get saved, it's called repent. You make a U-turn and you have a your mind now has to be reoriented. You have to have a change of mind. Now my mind's focused on the things of the Word of God. So the Word tells you something, gives you a command. What do? The mind that you was working over there, without hesitation, doing it day after day after day, you're going to do the same thing in the Word of God. If you're not, that's a sure sign there's no repentance. Because how do you know somebody repented? They changed their mind. They changed their mind. The mind naturally is going to gravitate to this because you've been doing it for so long. That's naturally going to come. And because it's been passed on to us, that's what we want to do. When you repent, you change your mind. Now you got to get reintroduced, as it were, to a whole different environment called the Word of God, the Kingdom of God. How many experienced that? You experienced that. Now you're starting to be introduced to it. The more you have a mind to do the things of God, the more you become familiar with it, you get where it's natural to you. It becomes natural. How many seen people, I try to do it? No, you're not trying to do it. Because the more you, when you do, you get evidence will be there. You're going to get better. If you lack doing it, your skill level is going to tell on you. So if you see a person constantly going back over here, there's no change of mind. What mind are you following if you're back over here? The same mind that you were supposed to repent from. You made a U-turn. You're not on that road no more. Remember, the U-turn, you're on a different road going in a different direction. So a person that says, well, I'll go to church. I'm over here. Well, we're going to tell. We're going to be able to tell. You say you're here, but you're acting like you're here. That's no repentance. How many get that? Just as I was driving over here, the Lord began to just give me all these thoughts. I said, wow, isn't that something? So I couldn't help but share it because that's important for you to know. You can tell because you got to know where. Why am I doing this? To be doing what I'm doing, I can't have the mind of Christ because he's going to do it this way. So how many have ever seen your friends and your family? And you know they're doing that. Well, it's our responsibility to at least make them aware of it. Tell them, hey, that's not right. But we have a big issue with doing that because we don't want to confront nobody. Parents owe it to their children, no matter how old your kids are. Does it make a difference? They're still your responsibility. You might not be feeding them or housing them or clothing them. It don't matter. You're responsible to train them up in the way they should go. You're responsible after they're older that if they go in the error, you're supposed to tell them. You just say, hey, that's not right. You're over here again. You're over here and you got this mind. My point was that Brother Josh was able to process simple command. That's working. It's functioning. He processed and did exactly, and he lived. Can we not process the simple commands of the Word of God and operate in those things? This is not hard. Somebody said, you don't realize how hard it is for me. Listen, it's easy for you to be here, but hard for you to be here. This gives you eternal damnation, and you're destroyed, forever forgotten. Think about that. Cease to exist. Here gives you eternal life. In God, how amazing is that? But the enemy's out to tell people that they can't. And that's what happens. They told that you can't do it, you can't do it, you'll never do it. You tried it before, it'll never work. And we start believing that stuff. Well, you believe it, you're going to wind up in trouble. So I wanted to just show you that people can respond to word. They can process that word, and they can actually take their self from one spot to another spot with no problem. They're functioning within their capacity. We have given too much excuse for people not able to function in their capacity when it comes to the power of the Word of God by Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do stuff. We can do it. Those who say, well, you just don't know. What I know is this. The more you stay here, going in the same direction, your mind hasn't changed. To repent means to change your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you do that, everything changes. You're going to be successful in every area of your life. As simple as that. It's not that God's not doing it for you or don't want to do it or you wait. Well, I'm just waiting on God. You know, one of these days is going to come. And somehow, at the end of the day, if you talk that away, guess what? It's God's fault. Because he's slow. We don't want to mention the fact that we keep going back here. We keep, you know, instead of making a U-turn and getting away from that spot, we keep finding ourselves back on that same road. And we can't do that. We do it with lots of things. Sometimes it's triggered by what people say. We accept that. We accept what people say. But at some point, you got to realize you're not serving people. You're serving God. And we're not trying to be approved unto people. We'd have studied to show ourselves approved unto God. And that's important. So that was just an add-on. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. So let's go to John 6:8. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him means you follow his lead, you follow his rules, his regulation. What he says, if you're doing that, it's going to be great. We'll have eternal life. We'll have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourself. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Has anybody seen this is important? He keeps telling them, I will raise him up on the last day. How encouraging is that? Should be very encouraging to everyone here. Because he's telling us what he's going to do. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. So understand that. No one has seen the Father. The one sent has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life. He who believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on. Start following his teachings, his strength. Get the mind of Christ. If you believe in Christ, you'll get the mind of Christ. You're going to accept him. You're going to pick him. That's what you believe. That's what you come to understand. It's what you pick. You decided that. Can I be on that road and constantly doing the same things I've been doing? You can't do both of them. Can bitter and sweet come out the same fountain? He said, you're going to love me or hate me. You'll bring in or scatter out. So these are things we have to take into consideration. So, verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Verse 48, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they did what? They died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Will live forever. Isn't that amazing? So there's so many things. We could stay on that. I did sort of a short teaching on this, incorporated in one of the messages that we did not long ago, dealing with this particular passage in John 6. Now, look at verse 11 of 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 11. God hath given to us, the believers, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He's given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in his Son. So that's something that we want to make sure that we understand and think about. The life is in his Son. So in order for us to have that life, we have to be following Christ. We have to be following, actively participating in living the way he lives, acting the way he acts, doing the things that he did. That's the road we travel now, that we're set apart. We're not doing the same thing we've been doing. That doesn't show repentance at all. You turn and your mind changes. A change of mind, you have to reorientate yourself to your surroundings, which is the kingdom mindset now. That's how you're living. So a person says, you know, I want to start going to church. That's fine. That can be the start of it. But repentance is you're going to quit doing the other things. You're going to tell when somebody does that. They quit doing it. But to come and then go and come and go, there's no repentance. You're just doing church for a while and not doing it and then doing it and then not doing it. And that's fine. You know, we don't turn anybody away. But when we're going to say, hey, what are you doing? There's no repentance there. The back and forth. I mean, you're acting like God, he can't do what he was. Well, it's just not working for me. Yeah, it's not going to work because your mind won't change. You got to have a change in your mind. You got to turn the car around. You got to go in a different direction. You got to make sure you start learning about that. It's different. It's different. There are different limits. I mean, you know, there are limits. This over here is called lawlessness. Lawlessness. You kind of do whatever you want. But over here, there are rules. These things you can't do. You know, you were doing it over there, but you can't do them over here. Well, I don't want that. But the moment you accept that, that's true repentance. I hope you see the difference, because we have to start saying it. If we're going to expect to come ahead in any way, we're going to have to say to people, hey, you're not living in repentance. You're not walking out. Get ready, though. What's the first thing he's going to tell you? Don't judge me. How are you judging me? And of course, you know, you can go to those verses and you can go back over them and over and over them. But we have a clear responsibility to point out the scripture. And what people want to do to argue, that, you know, they're going to say, well, what about you? See, there's a scripture called the advocate of the, we have an advocate with the Father, right? So as a believer, you go on and you may run off. How many's ever run off the road and bust a tire? I ran off the road one time when I first got married. We were going down the marina, and I turned the curve right there by Elsie and was talking or something, and they got the little drain thing. And I hit it. Boom. Was I in the Mustang? Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. It wasn't good at all. So I hit it. Blah. Oh, if I'd have been paying attention, I wouldn't have hit it. Because it's not on the road. It's off the road. But I got off the road. So if you're in this process of going in the right direction and you get off the road and bust a tire, you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is not over here. Over here, you have to repent. Because you still got this mind. It's a world concept. to U-turn is over here, and you may have a mistake. So that's to help you explain that. Yeah, I've messed up, but I'm not doing it today. I didn't today, and I'm not looking to do it. But you're living in it. You can't live in that. You actively participate in living in that arena. So hopefully this will help you be able to do what you've been thinking about doing, but you didn't know how to do it. There can be no hope for immortality for those not in Christ. There can be no hope of immortality for those not in Christ. Only through Christ has immortality been made possible. Only through Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says this, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Is that clear? Listen, "and having been made perfect." So can we say here clearly that Christ was made perfect through what? Obedience. So he's been made perfect through what? Obedience. Who was he obeying? The Father. We following him, going on the same road, right? We cruising along, and he says, "Okay, you're on the perfect road, and if you want to strive for perfection, you got to obey. You see the sign, obey." That's what he did. The signs have come. When the enemy attacks, and what are you going to do? Obey. You're going to obey God. You're going to disregard the lies of Satan. You're going to disregard all of the junk that's been fed to you over the years. And you're going to say, "God, I want your truth." And you're going to start obeying the scripture. Right? What happens? Things are going to start going in an incredible way for you. So watch what it says. "Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey." He obeyed. Made perfect. We obey, we get the prize. What's the prize? The source of eternal salvation. The source of eternal salvation. Notice that we can talk about salvation in many other verses of Scripture. Notice how it's combined here with eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. That tells me that there is an eternal salvation to obtain, and you obtain that in the resurrection. Now, are we saved now? Yes, we're saved. But we're being saved also. Why? Because what we're saved in now, we can also step out of it. Because it's not eternal. Not eternal, because you can lose it. If it's eternal, you can't lose it. So we're striving for something. So that keeps us honest, right? It should keep us humble, keep us pressing. That's why you have to press. Press toward. You got to get up every day and say, this is going to be something that's going to be incredible. I gave you verses on Sunday about being saved. Are we saved? Yes, we're saved. I mean, you got to know that something's happened to you. It's like, did I turn around or not? Well, yeah, I turned around. Am I on a different road? Yes, I am. But on that road, there are obstacles in life. There's difficulty in life. There's a manipulator still around. He's still around. He's a liar. Still around. He's out to get you. And if you're not paying attention, what happens? You run off the road, bust your tire. Then what do you got to do? Does it slow you down? You better believe it does. You got to stop. So where you were going, you're not getting there the time you thought you was. There's a delay in life. How many of you ever had delays in life? And but listen, if you're serious about it, if you're serious, you're going to get out your car. You're going to get out there. You got to get your hands dirty. And it's going to take some effort, and you're going to sweat a little bit. But listen to me. You brought that on yourself. That's okay, though. It's not over. You don't take the vehicle and throw it in the river because you're mad. No, there's nothing wrong with the car. The motor still runs. It's still nice. And it's got potential because it can transport somebody from one spot to the next. But it's hard to get there when the tire's blown and the rim's busted. Cost some money, cost some time. But if you're vigilant and you're serious about where you were going, you're going to get out there and get it done. It happens in life. It's just the way it is. It happens. And guess what? You were on the right road. And it happened. But if you take your eyes off the prize for a little while, sometimes that's all it takes, just a little while. Boom, the devil wants to just T-bone you. But over here it still happens. How many when you were sinning, you were partying, you still had stuff going wrong. But you had no hope. You just had stuff going wrong. You'd get out there, you had to fix it. And at the end, all you had was you. What was broke can never be right because it was going on the wrong path. You got it going, you got it going, you're going, but it's still not going to get you to nowhere because you're not going in the right direction. But if I repent, I U-turn, then I got to change my mind. I can't have that mind. And I'm going to pursue this. It's going to be incredible. Hopefully this will help you. Because we're dealing with the nature of man. That's who you are. Everybody goes through it. Don't single yourself out. Say, I don't know why this all happened to me. Guess what? Join the rest of the, what it was, 7 billion people around the world. Everybody's got some problems. Save, unsaved, go to church, faithful, preach, you name whatever you want. Everybody has got a drive. It's your life. But I can tell you, if you'll stay true to God, stay true to God, stay true to God, though you die, yet shall you live. That's to me, that's incredible. Though you die, yet shall you live. Over here, though you die, you're going forever. It's over. So, very key verse. I don't, how in the world we can't camp around Hebrews 5:9 and just underline it, highlight it to be a special verse to you. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obeyed him the source of eternal life. Immortality for men was therefore originated through the work of Christ. Immortality for men was therefore originated through the work of Christ. Because without the second Adam, we're in trouble. There's no hope for the world. There's no hope for God's creation without the second Adam. Because if the first could have done it, there'd have been no need for the second. But the first failed, forfeited his right, brought into the gates, eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, looks good, hearing the sounds of all the manipulation, brought in, the brain starts to process that against what God said. Well, I don't believe what they say. There you go, that's fine. God, he ain't going to come, they ain't twisting nobody's arm, if that's what you want. But now you got to get out. Get off this path. This is the Garden of Eden. This is paradise. I made it for you, but you got to get out now. Because now I got to send somebody else. I got to raise up somebody. Wow. Second Adam. He comes, pays the price in full, and he says, okay, now you got to do it like him. If you do it like him, you get eternal life. If you don't, that's kind of cut and dry. Well, that's what it is. God is not trying to paint some big gray area for us to all camp out in. He tells you, you love me or you hate me. And, you know, people's not actively go, I don't hate God. You don't. Well, what he tells you, turn around and you don't. And he says it again, turn around. How many services people got to be in? And I may not say these words. I may not say that. I was telling Charlotte this yesterday. I may not say these words. But the word, I preach the gospel here. I preach the word of God. I'm not trying to give you my feelings. I'm telling you, this is what the word says. And how many times in the word it's saying, turn around. People, they know it. Turn around. Then sometimes, in special occasions, the Lord will quicken me in my spirit. And I can't get out of here unless I say, hey, come here. And the basic glass says, hey, turn around. All right, and you don't turn around? You're gonna, and I love God, but you love God? Really? How is that possible? How can you say you love me? That's what he says. How can you say you love me and don't do what I say? That's what he says. How can you say you love me and but you don't do what I say? That's impossible. Because let me tell you what love will do. Love will make you go the extra mile. Many of you done it here. You've done it time and time again. You in here, you love your children, you'll go. And you'll keep going. That's okay. You think something's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with you. That's what you do. That's what mamas do. That's what daddies do. They love their kids. Well, let me tell you, that's what God does because he loves us. He didn't go just a little ways. He went all the way. He said, I'm going to give my only begotten son. He goes all the way. That, to me, is absolutely amazing. And we ought to appreciate the Lord. And you can do it. You can be busy. You can be busy and just appreciate God. Because if you see that God's everywhere in everything, you can appreciate him for the things that, just because the day didn't go your way, doesn't mean God left you. He's there, but you got to see him. You got to see him. Sometimes we just lose sight of God. We don't realize it. But if you'll take some time, hey, he never left me. He cares about me. He's still doing what he said he would do. And things will change. You start embracing that. You'll start carrying him around with you. You'll start sensing the Lord no matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you are. He said, no matter if I go to the highest heights. If I go to the highest heights, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I go across the sea, you're there. Don't care where you are. Don't lose sight of who he is and what he's done for us. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So the immortality for men was therefore originated through the work of Christ. Now, listen to this. The true believer seeks for immortality. The true believer seeks for immortality and will be rewarded for this by the gift of eternal life. Something he does not naturally possess. You start selling that naturally possessed immortality to people, which the world does, the church world especially, then they don't think they have to seek for anything. You remember why we're here? We're here to gain the prize. We are pressing toward the prize of the high calling. It's a high calling to be immortal. It's not just we should all get it because we went to church and sang in a choir. Really? No. What about the fact that we denied ourselves, we took up our cross daily, and we followed him? What about that? We're talking about immortality. It's not just handed out, big bags full. Everybody come get it. That's what the world thinks. Don't matter what you do. Because we got it in us already. And, you know, God's going to decide. He's going to shuffle the cards and, you know, good, bad, or whatever. And here it is. No, it's just something to obtain. It's a prize. This is a reward. It's something you can get because you do what he said. And it's not like he's taking us out of reach. Our scope of being able to accomplish it. Nobody is. You can be the poorest person in the world, living in the most remote jungle in the world, but if you just say, you know what? I change my mind. I change my mind. Let me tell you, you think the circumstances change much when you live in a third world country and somebody tells you about Jesus? You think it's going to change? Oh, yeah, you know, you turn around and go with God, and all of a sudden you got you a big tractor or something to cut woods in a jungle. No, you pretty much got the same mud shack, living the same way. But you refuse to live. You live in that way regardless. You refuse to believe the lie that there's some 33 million gods that you got to talk to every day. You got it now narrowed down to one God, the Most High, who gave his only son, and you believe in that with all your might. The difference is, I'm here and I'm just maybe here. I am guaranteed the word, and you start showing them the word of God. It's absolutely incredible. They living by that every day. Now they planting their rice with a little song. They're walking through the jungle the same way. They still walking. They still living in mud houses. But they got the joy of the Lord. That's their strength. They got a promise. Over in America, we want things. We want deals with God. I'll do for you, you do for me. I'm looking to go to the place that's got the best soul. Because I want spiritual prosperity. If it ain't good, something's wrong with it. Really? You see, what's the focus now? what I can get now. They got titles of books out, Your Best Life Now. What about pressing toward the mark? What about fighting a good fight of faith? What about when he says, I kept the faith? Seems to me there was some stuff he was going through. So he had to make, I'm a stand. When you've done all you can to stand. What are you standing on? The promises. The promises. It's worth it. Believe me, when you get immortality, it's worth all. You're going to, how Paul puts it, he says, these soft, small afflictions, when I compare it, when you compare it to what you get, these light afflictions are just for a little while. He called them light afflictions. Ain't near one of us been through the stuff he was through. Shipwreck, beaten, prison, beat to an inch of his life, stoned, snake bit. He was in all of it. You know what he called them? Light afflictions. He said, when I think about what I get, this is a light affliction I'm going through. And we got things going pretty good. We really do. You know, far as I know, folks got things pretty good. And the ones that don't, they keep doing the same stuff over and over. I almost said the word. I just ought to, as everybody's grown in here. Stupid stuff over and over and over and over again. You kidding me? You crazy? You want better? It ain't getting better. Don't kid yourself. It's not getting better. The nature of man, we're dealing with it. Let me tell you, you got to receive from what God has for you, because the nature of man needs a God. The nature of man, the way we've been designed, because it was forfeited by the first Adam, we need a Savior, or you don't get eternal life. You can't be good. You say, I'm going to be good. I'm just going to be a good person. That's not how you get it. You obey the commands of God. That's what you do. You obey them. So the true believer seeks for immortality and will be rewarded by this, the gift of eternal life, something he does not naturally possess. Let's get Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To those who persevere in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Remember that. To those who persevere in doing good. The persevering in doing good means, he's telling you, it's not going to be without trials. In this life, you're going to have trials and testings, but it's okay. Persevere in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Very important. So those are very important areas for us to focus on. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is what? That. But the free gift of God. I mean, see that? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know that is a mockery that what people do. You know, there's churches all over. They'll get started. And they won't, they're not going to none of these verses. I can tell you that. Because this tells you you got to do something. But they'll go to Romans. They'll go to Romans 8. And they'll say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And close the book. We ain't got nothing to worry about. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. None. So, in essence, you're saying, live like you want, because we're in Christ. It's so wonderful. There's no condemnation. You won't be condemned. But to me, why'd you close the book? You got to keep going. You can't just say, well, I'm going to read that. And if you keep reading, you're not going to come up with that as your master theme for your message. But it sure helps the people smile. Oh, the people are so excited. They're beside themselves. You know, but it's a shame that it happens. And I can't, for the life of me, understand why we would quit reading. Because it goes on and says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So it's dealing with the law of things, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirements of the law, the requirements of the law, might be fulfilled in us. The requirements of the law. And do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is walking according to the flesh, but we changed our mind and we had a U-turn. Now we're walking according to the Spirit. See, if you keep reading, folks get to like that in their seat, you know. The smiles go away. Because you're saying, hey, listen, is the first part still there? Yeah, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But we got to change what we're doing. We got to change. And you'll feel that feeling. It's amazing, absolutely incredible. So I just threw that one in there. He says, no stop to it. You get, as I'm thinking, going through this, there's no stopping. I mean, there it is. And this was all day today. I was just thinking about this. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 10:28 says this, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. So if the ones he gives eternal life to, they're promised to what? Never perish. I'm just wondering, what's the opposite of that? If you don't have eternal life, you what? Perish. You perish. So there is no innately immortality just given the nature of man. It's not given. It's not there. It's not there. And he took dust. Remember we talked about dust. All right, we got that. Plus breath equals a human being. All right? Some want to say, well, that's the soul of man. The soul. Okay? We'll go with that. So when the breath leaves, does the soul keep going on without it? Because we've got to take the breath out of the equation. Right? If we take the breath out of the equation, what do you have left? Dust plus nothing equals dust. It's dust. It can't be living soul no more. Because you got to have breath. And what does this breath represent? The Spirit of God that makes us alive. And we don't even realize it. Just the same thing that's going on while we're over here. We're just disregarding it. And we preach in the gospel to get people to realize, hey, you're not just living just to live. There's something to live for. You can have more. And that means more things. But you can have more understanding about why you got life. You still got life and you can do things. And you can still, your brain's working, everything's good. But if you turn from that, you're going to have the same, you get the same life. But now you have it more abundantly. Remember what he said? I'll give you life and life more abundantly. You got life here too, right? Yeah, you got life. Lots of people have life. They do bad things with life. But over here, you get life. Same life, but more abundantly. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I've made a U-turn, repented, and I'm experiencing life more abundantly. Does not mean more things. You can have less things and be more happy. Isn't that amazing? You have more joy. So, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. Our mortal body must put on immortality at the return of Christ. Our mortal body must put on immortality at the return of Christ. So if you have to put on immortality, how could we say that you already possess immortality? What about the person who doesn't know Christ? How many ever knew somebody that you knew them, but they didn't know Christ? They didn't live the life that Christ suggested they didn't obey anything, and you knew they died. And at the death, they was, hey, everybody goes to heaven. I've been a lot of you, nobody preaches, well, that joker went to hell. They wouldn't nobody get up there. Nobody brave enough to do that. And I wouldn't, you know, that's a tough spot to go in there and do that. You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to do it. That's a tough spot. So what's our responsibility? Just read the scripture. The scripture tells you what happens to everybody. Just tell them verses. You tell them verses. So we say, do we believe if a person never knew Christ, they never come to know Christ, never served him, didn't love him, didn't do nothing, and all of a sudden they have immortality, but the people who have Christ, they have to gain immortality? Because that's what the scripture's telling. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, for this perishable. How many agree with that? This perishable. Speaking of this perishable must put on imperishable. How many see that? And this mortal, right, this mortal, must put on immortality. So this is important for us to grab hold to. Valuable for us to see. So the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal. So it's something it's going to be a time and a place for that to happen. Now, do I have the promise of immortality? Yes, right now. I'm confident in that. I'm confident. But as much confidence as you want to have. How many's ever seen somebody who's been a faithful servant of the Lord, they die also? That's the proof that you don't have immortality yet, but you will. God alone has inherent immortality. 1 Timothy 6:16. We'll read from 13. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testifies the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Because some would say, well, he's speaking of Christ. That's Christ that he's talking about. But you got to keep reading. Because it says he dwells in unapproachable light. Was Christ ever in that position? No, you could go right to him when he was here. And did anybody ever see him? Who wants to take that on? Did anybody ever see Christ? Well, yeah. It says, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion forever. So understand that here the scripture saying that God, the Most High, is the only one that inherently possesses eternal life or immortality. Now, let's take some time. How that happens? You start up here and 5 minutes later, it's an hour. I don't know how that works. Either my watch is a speed watch, or I'm having so much fun. Honestly, I feel like I've been here for like 10 minutes. The soul. One of the most basic things which we know is that all human bodies, indeed, all living creatures, eventually die. That's one thing we know. We've seen it over and over and over again. The soul, therefore, dies. It is the exact opposite of something which is immortal. The soul dies. It's the opposite of that which is immortal. It is not surprising that about a third of all uses of the word translated soul in the Bible are associated with the death and destruction of the soul. The very fact that the word soul is used in this way shows that it cannot be something which is indestructible and immortal. It always talks about the soul that dies. So it's referencing that. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Notice that, Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, God can destroy the soul. God can destroy the soul. Revelation 16:3 and Psalm 78:50. You'll look at that. Both of them saying the same thing. Every living soul died. Every living soul died. Now we're saying breath, dust plus breath equals living being or living soul. Living soul. And he says every living soul died. So people would say, oh, but he's talking about, when he's talking about a living soul, he's talking about the person. Well, yes, we agree with that. That is the person. Dust plus breath equals human being or person. You take the breath out, the person dies. It's dead. There's no split. And it's a good argument, right? The argument, because there's books out where people die. And they come back and tell their story about what they did. And they said they were in the room. They saw their body laying there. And they were up in the corner, stuck to the wall, looking at this. They were just floating there and watched them work on him. You know, we watched them. They were working on me. And I watched it. And, you know, I went off. I saw some beautiful lights. And then all of a sudden, I was back in my body. And they come back and write books about it. And that's wonderful stories. And it makes people feel good. But where is it in the scripture? We're not following books. Where is it in the scripture? You can say it. Yeah, okay. Let's see if the nature of man is designed that way. Let's see. Because you can also be tricked and shown things by evil spirits. And remember, that's what he's trying to do, trick you. Remember, he sought the spirit of Samuel from the witches. Not God. That's just a good indicator. He sought the spirit, the ghost, as it were, of Samuel from evil spirits, not God. That's something to check out. And it'll come up. Believe me, I had it just come up the other day. And you got to know how far to go. Because, we're trying to win the people. You don't want to create an argument right off the bat. But there's a way you start talking about the kingdom of God, letting people know about the kingdom, and we're going to live forever in the kingdom, and then you can go from there. But that's going to be something come up, and it's all out there. I let a few of you watch some of the famous TV evangelists that go off on about their visions of heaven and rambling on. I mean, they say things that's completely contrary to Scripture. And then forget what they say, because if you can't, listen, you're going to forget what you say. And it's hard to keep the lie the same way. The truth is that no problem, right? Because it's still the truth. But the lie is hard to tell a lie the same way every time. And yeah, I didn't mean to say that. I really did see it. It's just a joke. It really is sad. None keep alive his own soul. Psalms 22:29. None can keep alive his own soul. None. I mean, understand the word none. That's pretty clear. I'm not going to say, well, I can. I'm going to church. None can keep alive his own soul. We need a Savior. A Savior. And he tells us what he's going to do when he comes back. He said, I'll lose nothing. You stick with me. I know it might seem like you're not winning yet, but you stick with me, because when I come back, you'll be raised up with me. And the ones who are alive will be changed. Isn't that amazing? That's a wonderful promise. If that's not the case, what is he saying that for? If it's automatic, the moment you die, you're there. There's no reason for resurrection. None. Why do it? And God's not trying to fill pages of the Bible to give us more things to think about. He's not trying to do that. Christ poured out his soul unto death so that his soul or life was made an offering for sin. So notice this. Isaiah 53 verse 10 and 12. 10 through 12. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Listen to this. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. For he would render himself as a guilt offering. He rendered himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. Isn't that amazing? He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. He will see it and be satisfied. What is he talking about? He's going to go, I'm going to crush him, but in 3 days, whole days, he will see it. So what he was going to do? Raise him up. Isn't that amazing? So he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. What an amazing leader we have. Yeshua HaMashiach, he paid the price in full, and he took all that iniquity, all that transgression. He did it for us. He interceded for the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. Isn't that something? So, Mark 8:35, we close with this. Whosoever will save his life or soul shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life or soul for my sake shall save it. How clear is that? So, if you want to do it this way, you're going to lose it because you're trying to save it. I got it. I'm doing it my way. He said, in the end, you're going to lose it. But he who loses and comes this way, change the mind, and says, I'm willing to sacrifice everything, serve God. He says, he will save it because of what he's promised. But whosoever loses his life or his soul for my sake shall save it. I'm hoping this is helping you as we go through this teaching. The next thing we'll talk about is death, is unconsciousness. It'll be either I or Brother Josh. One can continue this. It's absolutely incredible. The death is unconsciousness. There's lots of verses there still to give. And again, like I said, this is not exhaustive. This can go on. So hopefully this is helpful.